This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Adley had two more knocks. Gunner hit a missile out in the deep right field. So coming alive a little bit here offensively, which is good to see. Now, Cole Irvin, you heard him in the opening clip talking about other than the home run, and it was a bomb over the big wall out there in left field. He felt he was on point, and he did technically lower the earned run average. Didn't get through the fifth, and Nolan McGraw get in here. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney with you. Vinny's off today. He'll be back tomorrow. Nolan, when he was in Oakland, Cole Irvin, he was a .175, .180 innings eater kind of performer. I know Oakland, I don't even know what the stadium's called anymore, the old Coliseum out there, cavernous, pitcher friendly, but he can't get through the fifth in Baltimore. So the expectations of him eating innings are probably far fetched. Are you concerned with Wells, Irvin back end? Dean Kramer had a brilliant start in Pittsburgh, then got shelled by the Brewers on Saturday. You've got Burns, stud. Grayson Rodriguez, stud. I'm not as concerned about Kramer, but Wells and Irvin, I don't know.
I think
a little shaky right now.
Yeah. Well, look, you want him to get through the fifth, obviously. Now, if the past couple days, over the weekend, if things had gone better for the starters there, and they were going six or even deeper into those games, your bullpen wasn't as taxed, then okay, 4 2/3 from Irvin, not a big deal. He only gave up two runs, you'll take that. But because starters weren't going as deep over the weekend, bullpen was getting a little more work than you probably preferred, yeah, I want to see more. At the end of the day, what do we always say? Gives you a chance to win. He did do that last night, technically, but you're pulling him before he's getting really two up there in his pitch count, which to me,
it was in the 80s, right?
Right, 82. So that says situational. That Hyde says, I trust my reliever arm over what Irvin can give me over the next couple batters here. That's not encouraging for me.
Yeah, and look, we've seen pitchers drop like flies, unfortunately. Contending teams losing pitchers. Look at Spencer Strider, as we talked about yesterday with Atlanta, who, by the way, is a two-time now, unfortunately for him, Tommy John recipient, just like Chris Paddock, who's pitching for Minnesota tonight. So there's going to be a run on pitchers here. Now the question is, which the first team that's going to, you know, bust a move there? Kyle Bradish going to pitch in Bowie. Brandon Hyde said yesterday before the game, 2 to 3 innings, 40 to 50 pitches. John Means, I believe, goes on Wednesday. This will be his fourth rehab start. But if we're talking about them in 100% terms, hey, bring them in. Let's make this happen. But they're not 100%. And John Means, when's the last time John Means has pitched an entire season? And he's certainly not pitching one this year. And Kyle Bradish said it when Mike Elias announced it the first day of spring training, pitchers and catchers. UCL plus PRP plus IL is bad. I'm not good at equations. They're optimistic he'll be here, but I'm very skeptical that Kyle Bradish, I hope I'm wrong, and I am most of the time, But Kyle Bradish pitching in late September means to, I'm not holding my breath.
For now, they got to let it play out a little bit. They do kind of have that luxury. You're 10-6. You're doing all right. You're staying afloat. Offense is performing well enough. And for the most part, outside of Irvin, the rotation has been very solid. So early season concerns are not abundant or anything. You do have the luxury of letting this play out a little bit. Means is the big one for me. Bradish is always going to be a wild card just with the state or the status of his elbow, forearm, whatever, that could pop at any moment. If he ends up pitching well for this team or substantial innings for this team this year, that's sort of a bonus in my mind. Means, though, is a little more important. You know, he, not really an injury, he's just slow out the gate. So there's nothing seemingly holding him back. He'll be here within the next month, less than that probably. So if he comes in, slots in right away, looks like John Means that we expect, then okay, just proceed as normal. We got our five guys. Irvin goes to the bullpen. No big deal. But as you get closer to the deadline, and it goes back to your point, what's the market going to look like? Because a lot of guys are injured. A lot of teams have needs. There's less guys that are probably out there. Then maybe you reevaluate, but for now, I think you can wait.
Orioles win last night, though. Bottom line, 7-4 over the Minnesota Twins. Start the series with a W, 97 now. Series without a sweep. Hopefully they win the series tonight with Grayson Rodriguez on the hill at 6:35. And Jim Hunter pointed this out last night, Nolan McGraw. If you want to get in, by the way, people, you can at 410-583-1057. Orioles getting it done here as they've bounced back a little bit after getting shelled the first two games against Milwaukee. They're 10-6 on the year. They're only a game and a half behind the Yankees. Remember the Yankees off to the greatest start in the history of the franchise? Well, the Orioles are right there, breathing down their necks, and they're coming here in a couple of weeks. But if you have a concern with the Orioles at this stage, feel free to get in and share it. And if you're a glass half full guy like I am and Nolan is, let's drink. I don't want to say drink the orange Kool-Aid because I think it is kind of flavorful, got a lot of sugar in it today, but I think it's appropriate to give them praise because they haven't played a perfect game yet, but they're ready to rock and roll. But as Jim Hunter pointed out, when you don't get swept, which they haven't since May of 22, you don't have 10-game losing streaks or 5-game losing streaks or 4-game losing streaks. You prevent that sort of thing from happening. It would be nice, however, see a little 10-game winning streak here, get a little momentum rolling positively there, Nolan McGraw.
Well, I was thinking about it last night. Look, you're at 10 wins already in this first month. You're kind of looking at, 15 wins a month gets you to 90 on the year. So 16 a month, somewhere in that 15, 16 win a month range is where you want to be if you're trying to win the division. So they're off to a great pace here. There's no issues whatsoever there.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Vinny's off today. Bob Haney, Nolan McGraw, turning up Tuesday, cranking it up to 12. Doesn't have to be metal. Anything you want to hear loud, we will play it for you. So send your request to the Plaza Port text line. We'll come back, talk more about the Orioles' win last night, preview the Twinkies day at Game 2, coming up at 6:35, NFL Draft. Now, 9 days away. The first round, that is anyway. Kevin Allstreicher, USA Today, the Ravens Wire, joins us 11 o'clock. Preview that from a Ravens perspective. Strength and conditioning program underway. Lamar's there. Derrick Henry's there, among others. Eric Edholm from NFL.com will be joining us later in the show as well. Hey, and the play-in tournament starts tonight in the NBA. I really don't have a rooting interest other than whatever parlay I might be partaking in.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Their experience in sports varies.
Of course, Vinny's got experience in the NFL, and I sucked at electric football.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Oh, yeah, you know, that's just us committing to our plan, you know, continuing to take it day by day. But, you know, we're starting to get our groove as an offense, and we're looking for a lot more from us.
Cedric Mullins, not talking about the catch, brilliant catch that it was. But the bat's coming alive here. 10 home runs, busting out the whipping sticks over the last few games, showing the home run potential of this team. Do they have a 40 home run guy on the roster? I think Gunnar Henderson's got that potential. Anthony Santander in a rough stretch here, didn't play last night. He's hit 30. Mountcastle's exceeded 30. So you have guys with that. Allie Rutschman's a 20 to 25 homer guy. Westberg's got powers, got three home runs. Jackson Holliday, who knows what the home run potential is there. We talked about Mullins doing his thing, 30-30. Austin Hayes has hit over 20 before. So they have players that are capable of going deep. I know the left field wall at Camden Yards has changed things for left-handed hitters just a little bit, but still reachable, as we have seen. So I think the Orioles have the potential, maybe not to set the record for home runs in a season by a major league team, but Nolan McGraw, I think the offensive potential of this ball club is much higher than we've seen. First two games, they look like a slow pitch softball team. And then kind of they scored, 24 in the first two and then 23 in the next seven combined. Starting to see a little bit. Yeah, they got stoned on a Friday night pass by the Brewers. But this Orioles team's got some high upside offensively, especially if they could do damage with runners in scoring position, which they did last year.
Right. If they're all dialed in at the same time, I mean, look out. Good luck to opposing pitching, but like you said there, it could also mean that they all get cold at the same time, which is obviously not a good thing. Ryan O'Hearn, though. I mean, how about this guy that some people were writing off when the year started? All right, you bring him back. Feel-good story after last year, sure. But he's blocking prospects. Feel like people thought that, this is a chance to maybe get a curse stat up here.
Uh-huh.
Well, O'Hearn, in a limited role, mind you, is producing, I mean, starter numbers. And the power there, you're seeing it the last couple games. I mean, he's only got so many starts on the year. He's not going to start every day unless there's an injury to someone like Mountcastle last year with the vertigo thing. That's when you have an O'Hearn step in and play every day. But I don't think people sometimes understand how difficult it is to not play every day and still have that kind of impact. And then you think about when he was hitting his home runs last year, when he's hitting his home runs this year. They all matter. None of them are empty stats. I mean, he comes off the bench, hits you a clutch home run late in the game as a pinch hitter. You know, he'll play or start 3 days a week. Hits well in all three of those games. That's not easy to do.
Yeah, hit the one in Toronto last year, which was a huge homer among the many that he hit. And let's not forget either, he's pretty adept with the glove over at first base. Now, Mountcastle was a Gold Glove finalist last year, but Ryan O'Hearn is an integral part of what the Orioles are trying to do here. I would not try to dismiss him at all. Now, he was picked up off waivers from Kansas City. Did he make the team last year out of spring training? But you mentioned the vertigo that Ryan Mountcastle suffered, unfortunately, for sure. But that was an opportunity. He was a huge part of that Oriole lineup in the absence of Mountcastle. And then Mountcastle hurt his shoulder late in the season, around August or whatever it was, and he stemmed the tide there. Ryan O'Hearn is a big piece. He can play the outfield. Now, is he Roberto Clemente? No. But he can play the outfield if he has to. But his bat plays in a big way, and we've seen it the last couple of days. Both wins, by the way, let's stress that.
I think people were just skeptical. I mean, this is a guy, he's 30 years old. It's not like he's a young kid that has so much future upside right. That, all right, we'll take a chance on him. Based on how his career had played out, mostly in Kansas City before coming to Baltimore, you look at that track record, you look at that resume, you look at what he did last year, and you say, okay, kind of feels like an outlier year, and he'll come back down to earth. So far, it's very early, very short sample size this year. But so far, he's looking like he's going to repeat what he did last year, which I don't know what the difference is for him between Kansas City and Baltimore, but it's night and day.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'd cut off my right pinky finger to be 30 years old again, but that's another story for another day. It's Vinny at 81057 The Fan. If you want to get in, you can. 410-583-1057. Orioles 10-6. They won two in a row after getting drubbed the first two games against the Brujas. NFL draft coming up, first round in 9 days. Ravens have the 30th pick. We'll talk about that. Kevin Ostreicher, we ask you, cornerback sitting there or an offensive tackle Because, I don't know, you're going to chop Robinson at 30 if he's there. We'll get your opinion on that because your opinion matters. Let's get out to the phones. However, started off today, Owings Mills, let's bring in Harry. Harry, thanks for holding what's happening on this Turn It Up Tuesday.
No worries at all, Bob. And thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it. First of all, congratulations, Colton Cowser, but sorry for the golden sombrero yesterday.
Isn't that the harsh reality of the game, though? Hey, man, you're the offensive player. You're the American League player of the week. Hey, take that 0-4. See ya.
It's a game of failure, right, Bob?
Correct. Okay.
Now, I wanted to come back to this conversation that we needed to engage in.
Okay.
So when we first found out that Jamie Kaiser was entering the transfer portal. But I wanted to say this first. I missed Monday. So I'm not sure if you mentioned this, but Jonathan Lamothe, he's transferring to North Carolina A&T.
Correct.
Now, make me wonder, what about these recruiters or the coaches looking at these kids? What made them think that he was ready to be at the level of a Maryland when he ends up going to a North Carolina A&T?
And by the way, and Harry, we did not talk about it yesterday. And this is with all due respect to North Carolina A&T, by the way, but Lamothe coming out of St. Francis, well, three-star recruit. I would have loved to have seen him get a little run down the stretch for Maryland. Didn't happen, which I guess speaks volumes, but he transferred down a level. So he dominates there, but to your question about talent evaluators or how about talent developers? I mean, there might have been a whiff there, and Jamie Kaiser committed to Butler.
Absolutely. That's what I wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
So now I think it's a good move. Now, here it is. It's not a Power 5 conference, but let's have a quick conversation about that.
Sure.
The Power 5 conference is ACC, Big 10, Big 12, SEC, and Pac-12. However, you look at the Big East. The Big East has carried the torch for college basketball for more than a decade. Since 2011, the ACC has appeared in 5 national championship games, winning 3. The Big East has appeared in 7, winning all 7. So I think now we need to start looking at the Big East as a Power 5 school.
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, hey, look, the Big East has a great lineage of national championships going back to when its inception in 1979-1980. Big East, I think what, and I'm not the decision maker, Harry, in this process, but Power 5, I guess, means both basketball and football. I'm kind of thinking that's where they're leaning there.
Okay, roger that. Well, he has a good coach in Thad Matta. I didn't realize, actually, Thad Matta was coaching again. And McCaffrey is transferring there as well. Is that Fran McCaffrey's son?
I believe so.
Oh, my goodness. He's leaving Iowa, leaving his dad.
Well, I mean, maybe a change is for the best, I would guess. Who knows? But Maryland might be getting some new transfer portal news positively within the next day or so. And we'll keep you up to date on that one, Harry.
Every game, every interview, every take, 105.7, the voice of the fan.
The fastball just continues to improve. Back-to-back days, same fastball, and then two really good breaking balls to go with it. And I just love how aggressive he's been in the strike zone.
Brandon Hyde, Orioles manager, talking about closer Craig Kimbrell. He's off to a nice beginning to his Orioles career, for sure. Picked up his 4th save last night. Inning pitch, 2 Ks, including the final out of the ball game, bringing the velo, baseball term, 13 pitches, 10 of them strikes. And I know a lot of Phillies fans, for instance, might be listening going, wait till October. I'll tell you this, Nolan McGraw and Oriole fans listening. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Bob Haney with you. Vinny's off. Nolan's here. So are you. Let's turn it up Tuesday. Eddie Money, we'll get to him in a second. Cranking it up to 12. If we're talking about Craig Kimbrell pitching in October, I'm cool with that. If you're picking up what I'm putting down, as the young kids would say, that would mean that the Orioles are doing it. You get the point. So Craig Kimbrell right now is the least of my worries. Now, will this continue to be a thing throughout the next 5-plus months? I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball. I have a drunk psychic who's usually wrong, but when he comes into the game, even Sunday against the Brewers, I kind of knew deep down inside, the gut feeling, he was going to get himself out of the jam, and he did, and he was dominant last night.
Sets the tone, like, right away when he gets in there. The first pitch, I can't recall him throwing a first-pitch ball all year. I'm sure he has, obviously, but just seems like every time he comes into the game, that first pitch, he's got tremendous movement on it, and he dots the zone perfectly. He's got 13 strikeouts, no walks. That kind of says it all to me. I mean, this guy, a whip under 0.5, mind you. I mean, he's just been dominant. He had the blown save, but they didn't lose the game. So far, I don't know if I could have asked for anything more from Kimbrel.
Well, you figured that there would be a decrease in productivity from Felix Bautista, who was brilliant last year, to Craig Kimbrel. Now, historically, he's a Hall of Fame-worthy guy. But he's looking pretty dominant right now. Can he sustain it through the hot summer months into the pennant chase in August through September and then eventually in October? As we said, he's done it before. And it's not like he's ancient. He's not Fernando Rodney out there. You know what I mean? Rolling at 40 whatever years old, depending on what birth certificate you tend to believe. But he's coming in here with a great track record. Now, last night, Keegan Aiken finally got touched up a little bit. Now, there were inherited runners scored as Cano. Was it, is it Yenier? Because I've been calling Yenier Cano for the better part of a year and a half.
I think it's Yenier.
Yenier? No, Lupus, Finkel, Einhorn. But either way, he gave up an inherited runner, two, with that liner down the third baseline there. And, you know, you got to do what you got to do from time to time there, as it was Jeppers, I believe, got that base hit. But Aiken's been brilliant. But looking at the difference in the at-bats, you had the strikeout of Kirilloff low in the zone. Then he gets one up, gets lined, and then he gets Buxton. It's a simple process, I guess. If his changeup or whatever that thing he's throwing to dominate with the high velocity, he keeps it down, it's a simple game. But once that thing gets up in the zone and the velo's down a little bit, baseball term, we saw what happened, a rocket down the third baseline. He did come back and strike out the next hitter, though, as we said.
Right. I mean, both of those guys, Cano, Aiken, I'm not too concerned
Aiken's
with, obviously.
Dealing, dude. You're not going to have a zero earned run average.
I mean, that was really his first major blemish, we'll say. Only recording one out. This is the first time this season where he's looked shaky at all to me. And Cano was a guy that I had my eye on to start the year. Okay, is he really going to be able to repeat what he did last year? And so far, he's been pretty solid. I mean, Kimbrel, sure, you slot him in as your closer, but it is about the entire cast when it comes to the bullpen in order to succeed long-term and especially in the postseason. So the Orioles were always going to need Cano to be at least close to what he was last year if they were going to be successful as a bullpen. Even if it meant that he wasn't pitching the eighth or the ninth, they needed him at some point to be good. And he's been kind of on par with what I would have hoped.
Austin Hayes, as we said, his struggles continue on. It's a righty on the hill for the Twins tonight, Chris Paddock. I'm guessing, Nolan, that Austin Hayes be back on the pine as Tony Taters, who's been scuffling here last couple of weeks, he'll be back in the lineup, and rightfully so. It's unfortunate for Austin Hayes, based on his track record of success here with the Orioles, that, you know, he's just kind of the odd man out in the process. And Ramon Urias, where's the milk carton? Others have kind of assumed these roles right now, because the Orioles right now, Nolan, not in the feelings business.
Mm-hmm.
They're in the winning games business. And if you ain't helping, you ain't playing.
Right. I mean, you like Ramon Urias, but who's he playing over in this infield? Nobody. So it's a numbers game. It is what it is. When it comes to, all right, last night, good opportunity to give Santander a rest night. Couser, the way he's swinging it, he's a play every day guy right now, so you don't have to lock him into left field. We talked about this earlier in the year when, all right, Hayes was scuffling, even Mullins was scuffling at the time. You wanted to get Couser at bats. He doesn't have to play left field every night. Play left field one night, right the next, center in a pinch if you really need it. Give each of those three core guys, Hayes, Mullins, Santander, give them the occasional off day. Kowser can fill in anywhere.
So the Orioles, they won two in a row last night. 6-4, or 7-4, rather, over the Minnesota Twins. Twinkie scuffling here early in defensively, especially. I mean, the Eddie Julian error kind of opened the floodgates against them there in the bottom of the first inning. You want to get in and talk about the Orioles' rotation. If there's a concern in the old Bobster's eyes, that's it. You have two studs at the top. I'm cool with Dean Kramer for the most part. Tyler Wells, he's coming off a shaky start Friday because his first two early struggles settled in. Cole Irvin, okay, I don't know. A little worried about that. And I'm worried about John Means and Kyle Bradish long term as the season rolls on. And this isn't no sports talk hyperbole. This is a lifelong Oriole fan expressing concerns about his team because I want to see him win a World Series before I turn 60 years old. The last time they did it, I was 18. Nolan, I told you on my 18th birthday in 1983, I registered for the draft. The only draft you register for now is your fantasy draft.
Sucks. They don't. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
I think it's a solid class. Certainly probably not at the level of the receiver and offensive line. Definitely some players who can come in right away and probably compete to start for us.
So Eric DaCosta, Ravens GM, meeting with the media last week during the always fun Liar's Luncheon, talking about the depth of this year's cornerback class. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Turn it up Tuesday. You want to live, we'll play it for you. Send your request, pause for text line, 410-583-1057. Bob Haney and Nolan McGraw. Vinny's off today. He'll be back tomorrow. Ravens could use a cornerback. Some mock drafts, Mel Kiper, for instance, Baltimore's own, among others, have the Ravens taken Kool-Aid McKinstry out of Alabama at pick number 30. Ravens could use an offensive tackle. They could use help at guard because as we sit here on April the 16th, you have Tyler Linderbaum, stud, anchor, 10 years at center. Ronnie Stanley, pass stud, injury plagued, maybe in his last year in Baltimore, but he is penciled in as your left tackle. John Simpson, left guard last year, gone to the Jets. Kevin Zeitler, gone to Detroit. Morgan Moses traded to the Jets. So you have three holes on the O-line. But Brandon Stevens, Marlon Humphrey, Nolan. And Marlon's, what, 27? It feels like he's 37, but he's 27 years old. Got hurt late in the season. Only played 11 games. Brandon Stevens had, I guess, a breakout year transitioning from running back at UCLA to cornerback at SMU. Jalen Armour-Davis, who knows? Pepe Williams, who knows? I mean, they need some help at cornerback if there's a right tackle, for instance, sitting there. And I know John Harbaugh said Daniel Falele could be that dude. Who knows? But what are you leaning towards here?
Well, I was always leaning
in the trenches guy myself.
Yeah, I was always leaning O-line just because – all right, you have three holes to fill. We gotta address this, go with it in the first round, get yourself a starter. But the comments there from DaCosta, a little bit interesting, talking about the depth. All right, there's a lot of O-linemen. Maybe there's a lot of tackle talent in this year's draft, whereas corner, first-round guys, great, but after that, you're not as sure. Maybe that leans you or sways your decision to say, all right, let's get a sure thing corner in the first round. Whereas an O-lineman, we think there's starting caliber O-lineman in round two and beyond. Maybe that's not the case for corner. So that's how they approach it.
Yeah, I mean, it's deeper at offensive line than as a cornerback, as you said. But if you look at the division, and we've talked about this 1,000 times before, and we'll do it 1,000 more. Thousands and thousands of times. Burrow's back, health permitting. I mean, when he's playing, he's very effective, and he's given the Ravens problems before. His season-ending injury was on a touchdown pass, for crying out loud. But T. Higgins might be a little disgruntled, so who knows how that's going to play out for them. I don't know about Russell Wilson, personally. and Deshaun Watson coming off his shoulder. And he's never been the same, let's be honest, since his Houston days and then his self-inflicted off-the-field damage. But they do play Kansas City. They do play the Chargers. They do play Buffalo and others that have quarterbacks, and we'll get to the opponents here, that are capable of throwing the football. So if you're not going to be able to rush the passer, you better be able to stop the other team's wide receivers. And safeties, starting safeties, cool. Marcus Williams, be nice to get 17 out of him. Hamilton's a stud. I don't know, man. A little skeptical about that defensive backfield right now. Granted, it's only April the 16th, so I'm not making any absolutes.
Well, I think that makes the decision to let Ronald Darby walk for really not a lot of money when he left in free agency. It makes that decision very puzzling because, all right, you got Marlon Humphrey, you got Stevens on paper, but you know somebody's going to get hurt. It happens every year. DaCosta even said it last week. You can never have enough depth at corner. Somebody's always going down. You got to find somebody that's going to play significant snaps for you. Last year it was Darby. Can they hit the lottery again, find a guy that close to the start of the season in training camp that's going to play at that level? I'm not so sure. Same thing with pass rush. Mm-hmm. I mean, you hit the lottery with Clowney and Van Noy last year. Probably not going to happen again.
No. Look, Kyle Van Noy, welcome back. Staying home. He loved it here. Appreciate that. 9 sacks. If I'm betting over-under today that he duplicates that, I'm going under.
Right.
As long as it's not from 9-2 sort of thing, though. But somebody's got to duplicate or replace, shall we say, what Clowney brought to the equation. I think there's more to the Tavius Robinson equation than maybe we're giving him credit for right now.
I won't disagree, but I just hope it's not out of necessity where we just don't anyone else. All right, Tavius, go get him.
I hear what you're saying. Yeah. But it would be nice if Owe and Ajabo did what they were drafted to do. But if we're complaining about it or we're skeptical, what do you think Eric DaCosta and John Harbaugh are feeling like right now?
Well, to the media, they're very overly confident.
Oh, no doubt. Hey, listening to John Harbaugh talk about Rashad Bateman, I mean, it's like old Chris Farley with the Matt Foley when he does the glasses thing. Right. Hey, is that Jerry Rice over there? We'll see how it goes. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Kevin Ostreicher, USA Today, Ravens Wire. After the break, whip around left 15, tons going on, World of Sports. Ryan Ripken, our colleague, Baltimore Baseball tonight, 11:30. Talk about last night's win. Look at the week ahead. Grayson Rodriguez on the hill. Are there concerns with the Orioles rotation, even though it's really early in the season?
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.